The DOT mandates safer airliner fuel tanks. FAA engineers say the new requirements don't go far enough. And vandals cause massive damage at an airport in New Jersey. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 17th, 2008. On Wednesday, the Department of Transportation issued a mandate requiring all new commercial aircraft to include technology designed to significantly reduce the risk of center fuel tank fires within 2 years. In addition, passenger airliners built after 1991 must be retrofitted with technology designed to keep center fuel tanks from catching fire. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters said, quote, "We can't change the past, but we can make the future safer for thousands of air travelers, and this rule does just that," unquote. Her comment about the past refers to today's status as the 12th anniversary of the crash of TWA Flight 800, which prompted the requirement. While conspiracy theories still rage, the official finding in that crash was that flammable gases collected in the center tank and then were ignited by an undetermined source. Secretary Peters noted researchers with the FAA developed a system that replaces oxygen in the fuel tank with inert gas, which effectively prevents the potential ignition of flammable vapors. Boeing has also developed a similar system. Both mimic systems used for years by military aircraft. National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Mark Rosanker is a fan of the change. Quote, "From tragedy, we draw knowledge to improve safety, and today's announcement represents a significant step toward avoiding future aviation accidents of this nature," unquote. Peters said the administration estimates the costs of compliance will range from $92,000 to $311,000 per aircraft, depending on the size of that aircraft. The requirement affects over 2,700 aircraft in the U.S., while acknowledging the bad timing for increased airline costs, she added, quote, "There is no doubt that another crash like TWA 800 would pose a far greater challenge," unquote. To emphasize the point, Peters made the announcement standing in front of the wreckage of TWA 800 at the NTSB training facility in Virginia. In its response, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association said the new safety requirement doesn't go far enough. The union also represents FAA aircraft certification engineers, who say they're disappointed the FAA, quote, "missed an opportunity to greatly enhance airplane safety without significant additional cost," unquote. NATCA says both it and the NTSB wanted the same new standard applied to tanks located out along the wings of airliners, especially now that composite construction is about to sweep the industry. Tanks in composite wings will not cool as quickly as aluminum, and the fact that they're built from electrically non-conductive material makes it more complicated to mitigate electrical discharges, which could ignite fires or explosions. NATCA notes that Boeing plans to provide a flammability reduction system for the wing tanks on the 787 Dreamliner, even though it's not required to do so under the new rule. Police are looking for suspects tied to a rash of vandalism at Monmouth Executive Airport near Farmingdale, New Jersey. The Asbury Park Press reports vandals caused hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage to 11 aircraft there sometime between Sunday night and Monday morning. 10 Piston aircraft and one Citation Cessna II jet were attacked using crowbars and spray paint. One Piper Seneca had its tail severed and the right wing partially separated from the engine nacelle. It looks to be totaled. Police believe the suspects used a truck with a cable attached to cause most of the serious damage. Other planes had their tires slashed, fuselages spray-painted and scratched, and instrument panels smashed. Three cars and a trailer were also hit. Police have teamed with the FBI and the FAA, the state DOT, and the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office to look for the perpetrators, who will face a host of local, state, and federal charges if they're caught. Coming up next, Delta and American both report second-quarter losses in the billions. Delta announces its post-merger management team. And Boeing admits another glitch, but no more delays in the Dreamliner program. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3000. CJ220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 17th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. If U.S. domestic airlines have avoided being first to raise base ticket prices out of fears of losing market share, it looks as if the industry's great staring contest may be about to come to an end. Both Delta and American blamed huge second quarter losses on fuel prices and one-time charges in financials released on Wednesday. Delta lost $1.04 billion for the quarter. American Airlines parent AMR lost $1.45 billion. The two have posted combined net losses of $9.2 billion just since January 1st. Both say they're going to have to start raising ticket prices, even if it means the risk of suppressing demand. Business Week cites industry analysts who predict higher ticket prices, even more fees and unbundling, and fewer available domestic flights. Or, as Minneapolis airline expert Terry Tripler puts it, quote, "The first thing they have to do is forget about the butts in the seats and worry about the bucks in the till," unquote. Delta President Ed Bastian told reporters fares clearly must rise with fuel at record levels. Quote, "Will there be a tipping point where demand is going to be affected? I think there already is a bit of a tipping point," unquote. And he could be right. The DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics says U.S.-based airlines carried 3.3% fewer domestic passengers in April this year than a year earlier. Figures from FareCompare.com show airline fares up 20% just since January, with much higher increases in some smaller markets. So what's an airline to do? Delta expects to save $2 billion by 2012 by combining with Northwest Airlines, and now says the costs of that merger will be $600 million in cash, down from an earlier projection of $1 billion. Bastian says at this point Delta is not prepared to join other carriers in charging an extra fee for a passenger's first check bag, but is considering other fees. Delta also plans to cut domestic capacity by 13% after the end of the summer travel season. American announced on Wednesday it will take its 34 Airbus A300s offline by the end of 2009, 3 years earlier than planned. While the discussions of harsh measures may have some frequent flyers worried, the news was received enthusiastically by investors. Delta's stock finished the day up over 25% and American's up over 30%. Both of them buoyed in part by a significant two-day downtrend in oil prices and news that both carriers still have cash on hand. Delta Airlines announced to its employees on Tuesday the senior team responsible for leading the company after the closing of its merger with Northwest. As expected, the new airline will be led by Delta CEO Richard Anderson, who's an 18-year industry veteran and a former CEO of Northwest. Other execs will be selected from the current rosters of both companies. Delta also announced the senior officers who will be members of its corporate leadership team, tasked with overall responsibility for the strategy of the airline, including supervision of the merger. Joining Anderson among the familiar names on that team will be Ed Bastian, president and CFO of Delta, Mike Becker, Northwest's chief operating officer, and several senior and executive-level VPs. Anderson is clearly pleased in hindsight with the acquisition move. Quote, "In light of the industry's current challenges, including record-high oil prices, it's clear we were smart to proceed when we did, because this merger will provide the necessary revenue and cost synergies to better position the combined carrier for success over the long term," unquote. In comments to the press at the Farnborough International Airshow, Boeing's 787 program chief disclosed that a new problem has cropped up in the Dreamliner's development. Pat Shanahan called it an air bubble in the software that controls the airliner's braking system. GE Aviation Systems subcontracted the work to HydroAir, part of Crane Aerospace and Electrics. Crane's going to have to rewrite parts of the brake control code to comply with certification standards. Shanahan told Reuters, quote, "It's not that the brakes don't work, it's the traceability of the software. I'm confident it will be done. It's General Electric," unquote. While Shanahan says the software issue and already disclosed issues with damaged fuselage barrel sections are eating into the buffer in the Dreamliner's revised development timetable, Boeing insists the first plane will fly before the end of this year, and delivery to customers of certified aircraft will start in the third quarter of next year. A powered rasp on the back of the robotic arm scoop of NASA's Phoenix Mars lander is being used for the first time on Mars to gather shavings of ice. Phoenix team members at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory report the lander has used its arm in recent days to clear away loose soil from a subsurface layer of hard frozen material and create a large enough area to use the motorized rasp in a trench informally named Snow White. The goal is to ultimately deliver a sample of icy soil into one of the lander's laboratory ovens to be analyzed for water content and the building blocks required to support life. The Phoenix team has been testing on simulated Martian ice with a near-replica model of Phoenix in a test facility at the University of Arizona at Tucson. Still ahead, Sikorsky says its X2 tech demonstrator will fly soon. Bombardier's C-Series will use fuselage sections from China's Avik-1. And a former U.S. Attorney General says it's time for the terrorist watch list to go. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 17, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. From Farnborough comes news that after 3 years in development, the first flight of Sikorsky's X2 technology demonstrator is within reach. James Cagdis, Program Manager for Advanced Programs, said the X2 has accomplished more than 14 hours of ground run testing. The X2 technology demonstrator combines an integrated suite of technologies intended to advance the counter-rotating coaxial rotor helicopter. It's designed to demonstrate a helicopter can cruise comfortably at 250 knots while still retaining desirable helicopter attributes like excellent low-speed handling, efficient hovering, and auto-rotation safety, and a seamless and simple transition to high speed. Sikorsky announced the project in June of 2005. After a series of early achievements, the company was stalled in late 2006 by a 10-week machinist strike. The project is being funded solely by Sikorsky. Bombardier Aerospace signed a contract this week in Farnborough with the Shenyang Aircraft Corporation, a subsidiary of state-owned China Aviation Industry Corporation, or Avik-1, to supply the center fuselage on the newly launched Bombardier C-Series. Execs of both companies called the deal significant. Bombardier says the contract is an integral part of a long-standing relationship with Avik. In June 2007, the two companies announced a memo of understanding for long-term strategic cooperation in the 90 to 149-seat commercial aircraft market. In July of 2006, Bombardier entered an agreement that stipulated SAC would manufacture certain structural aircraft components for the Q400 aircraft. They were previously sourced from Mitsubishi Heavy Industry in Japan. Bombardier employs about 3,000 employees in China. Seven commercial airlines and government agencies in China and Taiwan operated a total of 46 Bombardier regional aircraft as of January 2007. Calling hassles every time he wants to fly on commercial airlines a pain in the neck, former U.S. Assistant Attorney General Jim Robinson says it's time to put a stop to the government's so-called terror watch list. Robinson headed the Justice Department's criminal division during the Clinton administration. He tells the Associated Press he believes his name is a close match for someone who was placed on the list in early 2005. Despite getting his own top-level security credentials renewed last year, Robinson is still hassled at airports. Over 30,000 people had asked the Department of Homeland Security to remove their names from the list as of October 2006. The list contains over a million names, but is known to have omitted the names of at least 20 terror suspects in an error the AP reports has been blamed on a programming glitch. While Robinson says he doubts the list is effective, last year, congressional investigators found, quote, general agreement that the watch list has helped to combat terrorism, unquote. And finally, if the new airline fees for everything from your first checked bag to your pet weren't annoying enough, USA Today reports six U.S. airlines will put ads on the boarding passes that you print at home on your own computer. There's no word on whether they'll reimburse you for the colored ink cartridges. Sojourn, which is an advertising startup company based in Omaha, Nebraska, has contracted with the airlines to provide advertising content based on the flight's destination. Customers printing passes during home check-in for flights on American, Delta, Northwest, U.S. Airways, United, and Continental will soon see ads touting restaurant and entertainment options in their destination cities and more. U.S. Airways already places ads on tray tables, and several European low-cost carriers put ads on overhead luggage bins. That makes the insides of the airliners look a lot like subways or city buses. ANN recently reported on a company planning to sell ad space on baggage carousel conveyor belts. Peter Yesowich is a CEO of Y Partnership, a travel marketing firm. He says the new ads could be effective as long as they contain meaningful content. But he admits, quote, I'd be happier if the flight departs on time rather than reading about a ball game in a city I may not get to, unquote. You know, I have a great idea. Turnabout is fair play, right? I'm going to find a company that wants to lure screeners away from the TSA to work elsewhere and sell them recruitment ads on the insides of my shoes. I know. Pretty cool, isn't it? Thank you. I've pretty much got it figured out, except for one detail. So far, I can't find anybody who wants to recruit TSA screeners. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. In May, the compensation the airlines owe you for bumping doubled. Kate Hannah of FlyersRights.org says the airlines have responded by developing a strategy to evade paying you any compensation at all. She'll be my guest and tell us more. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.